The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon, three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
Well, hello.
Hello. And hello to everybody out there, fellow witches or the witch curious. Welcome. This is Deborah Voith here with co-host and fellow witch Elvira Love.
Such a name.
Okay. Yeah. And I am excited about our show today. Today we are exploring blessings, curses, and spells. Or actually, we're exploring the power of words with the subtitle of Blessing, Curses, and Spells. So we're going to be taking a deep look at the power of words. So are you jazzed up for this one, Elvira?
Oh, I am. I've got, a ton of notes, and hopefully, it'll just take off and I'll be flying on my broomstick here.
I am excited about it. I love words. I'm the type of person that before, there was electronic reading, I used to I would love my books so much that I would sleep with them.
Totally understand that.
Yeah, words are just, they're just powerful tools. So I'm just going to dive a little bit first, just kind of going up in about the power of words in general before I hand it over to you, Elvira.
Okay.
So how do we connect with the power of words as witches in our magical work? So words are a powerful tool, and, with words, they're these simple little bits of letters and, hyphens and commas. With words, we express symbols, we express images and concepts. If you have a word for something, you can identify it before we were able to speak. We the essence of most of our thoughts were in images. And so there's many ways that the power of words can be used in witchcraft, spell casting, and spiritual work. And the words that you use when you speak, write, or perform a spell are identifying something, specifically that you desire, or something that you wish to see happen. And I believe the most powerful effect of your words can be to activate your energy, like your own internal energy and your inner power. And if you build your inner power, this will also work to attract. It will help to attract what you seek. It will help to attract other helpful energies or spirits. And also, it will make it easier to direct these energies and influences in very specific ways to your desired outcome. So in regard to chants and repetition, I was thinking, like, humans are... they instinctively respond to particular beats and rhythms and repetitions. And many researchers attribute this to the rhythm that we're all first aware of, and that's our mother's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So the spiritual use of, or the magical use of rhythmic repetitions, you know, especially whether it's, you know, drumming or talking about words or chanting, are common to cultures the world over. And chanting is one of the many ways to strengthen a spell. And chanting can also induce a light trance, which can make the magic more effective. I know for me, I love a good, simple chant. And I will often use one of these to make like an sort of like an NLP or a neuro-linguistic link. So, you know, neuro is your nervous system and linguistics is the words you're using. And so you're linking those together or making or creating a magical anchor, which is one of action that's linked to words. And so I have a couple little simple ones just as examples. And the first one I want to say is one that, you know, it's a very familiar one, but one that a lot of people use to obtain an external result. And that's, you know, Saint Anthony, please come around. Something is lost and cannot be found. And that, you know, I love that one because I feel like part of how it works is that it frees up your mind. It kind of frees up that conscious part of your mind while you're saying it so that you can tap into where the object is located. Another one that might be more for inner action, you know, and I got like a zillion of them, so I'm just going to mention a couple of them. But for inner action might be something like, you know, spirit guides, please come around. As we link our intentions, the spirits are found. And so I like using something like that at the beginning of doing a sitting for mediumship or for connecting with spirits and spirit work. And one of, you know, also it's very important to build our own power. And I use words for that also. So when I'm doing what they call sitting in my power or sitting in my personal power, I'll just, you know, kind of start out with something where I say, as I build my personal power, the spirits come closer this very hour. And the reason I say it like that is because I see my personal power as a light inside. And as I breathe in, you know, I'm breathing in love and trust, and I'm breathing out fear and doubt. And every time I breathe out and in, I'm seeing my aura expanding. And so I'm able to connect with the other energies around me a lot easier. And then, so I just want to use one last one that I really, that I ended up using recently. I'll just say that chants in repetition are frequently used in casting a magic circle, and it's also used in rituals to build power. And the one that I used for casting a circle recently, especially when I'm going to commune with spirits, is as I walk this circle around, I cleanse and consecrate these grounds. You know, that's my first pass. And the second pass, I'll say, between the worlds, I ride the hedge on moonlit night at Dale's edge. And then I take my third pass. I walk this circle bending time for the protection of the god and goddess are mine. And so you can use whatever, you know, chant that you like. You know, I really suggest kind of creating your own or, you know, using somebody else's until you kind of tap into your own. But one that I used recently, and this is when we were up north in the woods, I had a group of women and we did a solstice circle. And to raise energy, we just used a real simple one. And we just did above, below, now side to side. We are the rising of the tide. And in our solstice ritual, as we chanted this in the circle, we built a ball of energy between our hands, consisting of all that we needed to release at that time. And as we then built that personal power, it was very awesome because you could feel the release and the energy building and then the release of what you no longer needed. You know, and then we again focused on that with another chant where we built the power to draw it back, to draw it back into us. And so that, you know, that is just, you know, one of some of the very different ways that words can be used. So I really like chants. But at the most basic level, a person might just state their intention or desired outcome of their spell while they're performing a magical or symbolic act. And so when you do that, it's good to be specific. So instead of saying something like, I will get a job, you might say something like, my perfect job pays very well. And you know, so you're stating it as if it's already there. And so I'm kind of jabbered on a little bit here. How about you, Elvira?
Oh, my. Well,
do you love a good chant?
I love a good chant. Yes, I do. I do. It's interesting because, you know, I was looking at things and it was talking about, you know, the purpose of an incantation or spell, charm, enchantment is, you know, basically a magical formula intended to trigger a magical effect on a person or object. So obviously that's part of, you know, again, spells are one set, then incantations, it's like you build a sentence. So, you know, your incantation is what you're talking about, which is calling in specific things for specific purpose. And then from there, you take the same concept of words and calling in, and you utilize it for your drawing, building your power. And that can, you know, again, the chants or repetition. It's interesting because one of the things I found interesting about chants are, again, what you're talking about is sound, rhythm, and as you said, the first that we hear is the heartbeat. And then you go from there. There are other repetitive sounds that are external that become usable in when you're doing magic, whether you're doing a spell or you're doing a meditation or you're doing a mantra. You know, it's got that. And I found someone that kind of, it was interesting. It's called The Magical Power of Word by S.J. Tabia. And he basically, 1968, and it was the connection between language and magic and the fact that belief has to be part of it is inherent, the ability of words to influence the universe. And that becomes what I think the part that really intrigues me of breaking something like this down, that not all speech is considered magical, and there are only certain words and phrases that, when spoken in a specific way, have a magical power. And I think that there is a lot of things about speech, you know, is that it's emotion-based when we're dealing with magic. It deals with that part of ourselves, not the logical brain, but the other part. And that, you know, it comes with then the word choices, what grammar we use, specific phrases, things like that. And I kind of found somebody who broke it down in how to write an incantation. I thought that I'm kind of sticking to that for the moment because that really jazzed me, is you have it in three parts. One is the past, which is the trouble, something that you're dealing with that's not right. Your present, which is your request, and then your future, which is the intent or desired outcome. And that vibration of the words add the rhythm, which pulls the power. And that's where you get your, you know, your phrases and syllables that kind of come into play. And I mean, I did a lot about the history and, you know, some of that. And I find that, you know, that's interesting. I just realized that we might want to be more action oriented about how people can put this together and make it happen. I mean, you've given specifics, which are excellent. And at this point, you know, the idea of taking and what I went into, for instance, ceremonial magic, our magical formulas, words of power that, you know, is basically work that is that you're doing for a specific supernatural effect, magical effect formula. And I kind of went through some of the things and, you know, it had a lot of interesting, you know, origins that it was talking about mostly. But I found, like, for instance, agape is a Greek meaning higher form of love. And chanting and making it is, you know, using that for bringing that energy. So each, and I'm not just talking about the biblical point of reference, which does have a lot in it. But there are things like, for instance, and this I remember learning way back when I was, you know, doing, you know, working, not doing hermetic, and it's the Tetragrammaton, which is the name of God, Jehovah, and of course, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I thought, thinking of that, and you use that, even though I may not necessarily be part of a tradition there, but going and stepping aside, that brings a lot of power. And when you do that, what you're looking to get is energized and you step it up. So there's some things that have been used over generations and millenniums that come into effect. And then there are things like for us more in the moment, so to speak, about what we are looking for and how we want to use the words and the things that will express it. So, you know, that's kind of a step down version of all of what I had been checking on notes and, you know, going into things, because I know a lot of times, and I know there's a lot of things that are consistently used, and we learn when we start our traditional training of, you know, the year and the day and doing a certain tradition and learning these things. But I found that as I have progressed, it's what rings in the moment. So it may be calling the circle in and going through the cleansing and going through the bringing in protection. But I find that I hook with spirit and that which is necessary comes through. And I was trying to dissect it and I couldn't. I leave it at that.
Do you have like a favorite way that you connect then with spirit or?
Well, obviously I, you know, setting up your altar, setting up the things that you want to do with whatever working or ceremony or ritual. And then I will basically, you know, take, you know, the athame and I will counterclockwise and I will say, be gone all negative energies, negative and harmful beings, stay away. And I will utilize that as I walk around. And then to draw in the protection, taking the wand and using that to bring in clockwise. I call upon Hecate, I call upon the angels and archangels of protection and empowerment, choosing whatever is being kind of knocking on my door saying they want to help and bring them in and walk clockwise. And then, you know, specifically if I'm working with a specific deity, I will do, you know, as above, so below, as below, so above. Come in, come in, and, you know, work on the centering, and then, you know, work with the elements, And usually, as we know, we start with air, fire, water, earth to draw in. And then when we finish drawing a circle and we're letting go, we reverse it. So, but it's incredibly interesting how my personal practice has changed over the decades. Uh-huh. And sometimes I'll just stand there with my finger and I'll just do, I ask for the globe of protection to come in now. And, bam, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not that it's overly dramatic, but I may need it right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the time. Like if you're driving and something is starting to happen and mm-hmm. you see the potential of something that's not good, you immediately have to pull in the power, and what comes forward is, this like I call forth protection, mm-hmm. From the harm of the flying car that's coming towards me.
Yeah, and I could see where, when you were talking about, pulling, creating the circle and, calling in the protections and calling in the goddess and stuff like that. I mean, I could really feel that when you were talking that through and just, and I could feel it. And in my mind's eye, I could actually see you walking the circle and doing that. And I just thought, wow, yeah, that is very, very awesome. And I can tell it's from your years of having performed that type of magic and the ways, or one of the ways that you can do it. And mm-hmm. that, as we get a little older and have done things so many times, I can see where, I shorthand it too sometimes, where it's like, I believe that neural pathway has connected with that magical trigger, and it where, yeah, you're kind of able to shorthand it and be like, bam, there it is. Mm-hmm. 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 And so, yeah, I can totally understand that. Because I know I've done that with a lot of different things too sometimes. Sometimes, I absolutely love ritual. And mm-hmm. I love mm-hmm. The performance of it and the symbology of it and the power of it. Mm-hmm. And especially as far as like words are concerned or repetition. And, but I think that we also, because of having done it, so many times, I think what happens is you do build that up and it becomes a part of you. It mm-hmm. becomes a part of your energetic system. Mm-hmm. And so I love the way that you described that and just talked about, doing it full on and then kind of going to the shorthand when needed.
When needed. Yeah, when needed. Yeah, because, all of the things that I found that we talk, we're talking about mm-hmm. in terms of one word or a lot of words put together or writing, because I love writing ceremonial magic mm-hmm. and, doing things in a very artistic and creative way and mm-hmm. then delivering it. Yes. As a performance, but not necessarily in a hollow way, but mm-hmm. it becomes mm-hmm. that. And that's wonderful. How many ceremonial mm-hmm. Cloaks and dresses and tiaras and things that I have had and can be part of my world. And I love it. That's, but then it becomes... The performance is a performance, but it is a performance that is from you, who you are. It connects internally. So, sometimes we have to dress the part to feel the part, and sometimes mm-hmm. we are the part and we don't care what we're dressed as.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. So I think we're off to a good start, and I like that we talked about words of power and how some of the ways that we might use them in ritual, in incantations and chants and the like. And so I think that, you know, we're going to take a break in a minute here, but then when we come back, we're going to definitely talk about some of the other ways of using words in magic, you know, mm-hmm. especially taking a look at blessings, curses, and spells. And we'll have a lot of fun with that, I'm sure.
Yes, we will.
yeah. I know, and also, I just want to say quick before we break is that is the writing of words too, because mm-hmm. we end up doing that with a lot of different things, a lot of different spell work where, you know, there's powerful ways of using them written words also, as well as spoken. Mm-hmm. And so, so we'll explore that a little more too when we come back. But for right now, I believe we are going to just take our little break. So break us away, Mother Shiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time, the Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
All right. And we are back.
Back again.
Yes, yes. So, Elvira.
Yes.
Lead us off with some of your thoughts about the power of words used by witches in blessings, curses, and spell casting.
Ooh, yay. Well, there we go. All right. So, it's interesting. I went in and I kind of took a perspective of how words and blessings and curses are. And, you know, and I'm going to use some things outside of the witchy stuff, is that mm-hmm. blessings and curses, if for instance, in the Old Testament, you know, Deuteronomy 28, their blessings, you know, are promised for obedience to the divine. And then, you know, curses are obviously disobedience. And then there's a way to turn, you know, curses to blessings, which I thought was interesting, is that I like that too. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the God's ability to transform curses into blessings, which in technicality in the Bible, Nehemiah 13, 2. But I was looking at positive affirmations, the concepts of positively affirming with words things that are, you know, relevant to mm-hmm. you. And then you've got, which is, again, blessings, positive affirmations, asking for those things in a blessing form. And then it kind of, you know, went into, and I think this will hit some of us, is you have like generational curses, and how to break generational curses is, you know, practice prayer and spiritual deliverance through various means to break the power of negative words. So mm-hmm. in a way, what we do is we get something that somebody comes to us with this generational, or it even can be generational blessings, which I mm-hmm. thought was interesting because most of the time we are hearing about all the curses. Mm-hmm. So again, when you get the blessings, it's the idea of generational blessings where positive, energies or powers or patterns are passed down through the family members. And you'd think about being able to sense the timing on something, you know, in a positive way rather than a fearful way. So I'm looking at curses and blessings and things in a different way than this is one category, this is another. But if you see one and the other, it's what you use words for, positive mm-hmm. things or negative things. And yeah. then when you go with that, what do you do as an antidote? Just like, for instance, mm-hmm. we get, you know, chemical vaccinations for antidotes for different things, you know, increasing mm-hmm. our abilities to take care of ourselves. So I think the same thing is true with words when it comes to blessings mm-hmm. versus curses, negative, positive. So there is a balance and an enhancement. And I feel that spells are complicated formulas, not in a bad way, but it's more complicated than a statement, positive or negative. Mm-hmm. And so when you create a spell, you're doing it in layers.
Yes.
And that's the purpose, is that you start at one layer and you build on top of it and you build on top of it and build. And then there's a point, and this is the part a lot of people, including myself, have had trouble with, is you have to let it go. It's
yes.
kind of like you have to do this layering and mm-hmm. then release it so it can go do what you've asked it to go do. And again, words are part of the same process of layering and the formulas of putting them together, whether you use a traditional formula or you use your own created formula.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
You know, I actually, as you were talking, I was thinking the word layers popped into my head because, yeah, that's really what it is, because you are... you know, on one level, you might be writing a spiritual petition and you're putting your energy into that petition.
Mm-hmm.
You might be writing it a number of times. And so the number of times might be a significant number, where it's like three times, you know, kind of like the triangle of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
You also might be dressing it with oils or powders or other things that have herbs and other items in there that align with your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, all of those layers add up into, you know, a much more, I know the word powerful is kind of overused, but it, that whole layering builds and builds the energy of it. And then when you, kind of like I'm thinking about when I did the solstice ritual with the ladies up in the woods,
mm-hmm.
You know, we held our hands up as if we were holding a ball of energy between them. And
Ooh.
We focused on it and we entered all the things in there that we wanted to let go of. And, you know, we took that time and we were chanting. And with each chant, we added more power to it. And then when it was finally built up to its peak, we let it go. And it was, you could feel it. I mean, the feeling around the circle was palpable. I mean, everybody was like, had kind of a like, you know, kind of a breathy response to that. And and so I think that is such a great point. And also, you know, the words and just the repetition of them and the building of them, and, you know, before the release. And then the other important part that you pointed out is then the letting it go, you know, the whole walking away and not looking back thing. Because, you know, every time you do that, you are actually you're putting that doubt in there. You're taking the energy or the power away from it. And and so that's, you know, I love what you said, that those are really, really good, good examples of the use of words. Because, yeah, they, each word, each emotion connected to it, each thought has an energy that carries it. And so I like names. Names also hold a lot of power. You know, words that you use to create a person's name. And lots of times if you're doing work for somebody, you like to have their whole name. You know, I always, just from the first time I heard somebody say, I'm burning a candle on their name. It's just like, just that whole imaging of burning a candle on somebody's name. I was just like, wow. I mean, that simple action is such a significant thing, because if you think of it, you know, the energy is building, 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 building the whole time. That candle, you know, all the energy you put into it, it's building the whole time that candle is burning.
Right. Right. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, it's, and it's, go ahead.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention, like, the repetition of words too. It doesn't have to be a chant, but it can just be that whole repetition. And I think that some people will incorporate like numbers into the repetition, like saying something three times or writing something three times, is kind of like the typical manifestation number. Some people might do it seven times to draw good luck. Others might do it nine times to have a sense of control over what is going on. And so I saw, like, when I did a little research, is that some research indicates that among ancient Mesopotamians, odd numbers were apotropaic, meaning, in other words, that odd numbers were lucky or good for protecting one from harm or evil. And at the same time, the belief then was that the use of even numbers risked contagion and attack by demonic spirits or other magical forces. And so, you know, I just saw that as an aside, and I thought, huh, that's interesting that even in ancient Mesopotamian, that there was that whole, you know, that process behind the understanding of numbers and magic.
Well, and I noticed that when looking at the different ways that you put things together, it's like, what is your goal? You know, your intention. You know, we start out with primary things, and what is the intention? And then how you do the repetition is a way to make the concentration and flow move the energy. And then you have a goal, which is obviously there is an intention, but the goal is a higher value of what you want out of it. More or less, like, is it a spiritual enlightenment? Is it connecting with a specific set of spirits or deities? Are you achieving, you know, some kind of blessing or wanting to influence events? So it's that, again, that building is you start with these layers Mm-hmm. And we may not always know we're doing those layers, mm-hmm. but it is a framework, a structure.
Oh, yeah. And there is, I know in folk magic and in, especially in hoodoo, the whole name repetition is a very common practice. Or where maybe, say, if you're making a mojo bag or a charm bag, you might put three items in there that are that coincide or line up with your intention. And then you might, you know, I think to add a lot more power to it, what you would might do is on a small sheet of paper, you might write down your intention, some words of power, you know, a magical chant or whatever it is, and wrap that paper around the items in your little spell bag. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I think that that is a wonderful, a wonderful way to use words in spell casting. It just, I know that something else that I came across that I could kind of relate to, because I've mostly, my background is mostly Eastern European. And there is some spells or charms are traditionally only whispered. And so so that's real common in Eastern European witchcraft and is sometimes referred to as spoiling. Now, that would be, now the spoiling thing, though, would point more to curses. But and also a lot of people will also spit into whatever it is that they're spoiling. But also for blessings, though, that is a very common thing to do also, where you might lean over a newborn's crib and whisper a blessing to them. Or you might, you know, whisper, you know, that all good spirits as in a new home come and join and protect that home. And so that whole spoiling thing does, the whole whispering thing doesn't have to be spoiling. It can also be blessing.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I know that you mentioned NLP, and I know that's more of a scientific point of reference or something, you know, psychological approach to words and phrases, concepts, you know, putting things together. But there are some things that they have found that, especially in certain words, that our brain kind of deletes it. So it becomes, and that's another reason why the affirmations in everyday, you know, psychological aspects, but also why you do it in certain spell work. And incantations is that you avoid using the word not, N-O-T, because the brain drops that. So instead of saying, I will not have, you know, negative energy coming into my house, it takes it and changes it. So you have to learn another way to word it. And I, the only reason why any of this actually ever came into my existence is because my last husband was a hypnotherapist and, of course, learning linguistics programming. And so he kind of, every time he heard me say things, he said, you know, you need to change that. You need to find another word that will give that the energy that you want to have rather than taking it and creating it in the way you would rather it not be. So, and I think that is part of using the power of word and in incantations and chants and mantras and spell work.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I think that hypnotherapists have actually tapped into the power of words.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because I actually have a book. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry about that. But it's a book that consists of specific wording or phrases that can be used in hypnotherapy to make the process stronger. And so you know, I really had to think about that. And then I looked over some guided meditations where they were done by people who were hypnotherapists, and I could totally tell the difference.
Yes. So, I mean, and I think that it really changes, and I can see why when you talk about ceremonial magic and why the structure of the words, phrases, and all the incantations are said in a certain way. And it's, you know, I mean, the Order of the Golden Dawn and some of these others that have, you know, resurrected themselves, and probably the Masons and, you know, the Rosicrucians and all the others that are, you know, very old and traditional.
And the, yeah, and vibrating, the vibrating of the words. Yes. I think that is so interesting to me, because that vibration process, I think if nobody has heard it before, it sounds very odd. But when you think about it, by vibrating each part of the word, you are actually amplifying the energy of each letter and the word in total. And so that just seems to be such a powerful way of using words. You know, another thing I thought of is that there's the power of calling one's name. And that might be, you know, in sympathetic magic. It could be something that you end up doing, like with doll babies or effigies, puppets, whatever it is that you want to call them. And that can be done for good or for ill.
Reclaiming.
Yeah.
And I release any energy that is not mine. Any energy that does not serve me now is gone, never to return in this life or any others. I call all my power back. I am grounded and safe, completely protected. And I believe the gentleman was Anley Richard William Maggs, North Bay Reclaiming. So,
you know what? I'll have to get that from you, because I love that. I love the way you worded it. I love it. Yeah.
It was something that just, I mean, and some of these I've saved because when I read them, I'm like, I need to have that around to be able to, you know, keep that, you know, process. And the other one was by a woman. Well, it was credited to Autumn Witch. I call all my power back to me. The truth unbound is what I see. In my light, all darkness flees. I hold the lock and I am the key. I hold my own and set myself free. As I will be, it is, so mote it be. So,
I love to me. That.
Yeah. So I wanted to just say those because I know we've got, you know, limited time, and I wanted to, know, you know, kind of gives us an idea of what people have put together. And, you know, for purposes that we find we resonate towards.
Yes. And I, another thing I wanted to point out is that words of power can be found in many books. And, you know, with the Bible being one of them. I know that A lot of love spells will use parts of the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. And also the Psalms are believed to contain certain seed sounds within them. And so it is believed that once you utter a specific psalm, that it will bring about a specific outcome for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that those are quite magical. I just want to mention one book that I think is just a wonderful little book. It's called The Witch's Art of Incantation, Spoken Charms, Spells, and Curses in Folk Witchcraft. And it was written by Roger F. Horn. And he has charms in here that are Scottish charms. Like there's one from the 17th century, which is a chant for witch flight. And it's horse and haddock, horse and go. Horse and pilatus, ho ho. And so that, you know, is... I love that these are all old charms taken from a number of sources. Some of them are from different Scottish old books. Some are from the Grimorium Verum, the French. Some of them are from Aradia. And some of them are from the magical Greek papyri. And so if anybody out there would like to get just like a little flavor of all of the different ancient incantations, The Witch's Art of Incantation is a wonderful book. I would really recommend it.
Wow.
There's one in there that is a conjuration of the Queen of Elfemi. And I know, it's like white flower of the blackberry, fragrant flower of the apple, sweet flower of the raspberry, summer in cold stretch of snow and barren trees, my pulse, my secret, my queen. And a lot of them are very simple. Some of them are in different languages. Most of them are in English. But they're, it kind of gives you like a very interesting overview of some of the old incantations. And I think, I just wanted to mention that, I think you brought up like the power of vibrating powerful words. I think that, if you listen, like if anybody listens like on YouTube, you can probably find somebody doing that, where the words of power are chanted with full breath to vibrate. And so, an example of that is the LBRP, or the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. I also think that the power of guided meditations can be very powerful and very helpful, especially when you're starting out and you're wanting to find out how to get that mindset of visualizing while doing your magic. And a lot of people will recommend meditations for developing witchcraft, developing psychic abilities, developing mediumship. But they're the power of guided meditations can be a very, very helpful tool. Another one is prayer, different, depending, and that kind of encompasses, whatever it is that you believe, tapping into that and making a connection with whatever you believe, the divine or the creator or the all, whatever you believe that to be, is just a really, really powerful way that words are used. Yeah. The other, I wanted to mention one other one, and I don't do this, but I know that it's kind of an interesting way that, you know, the power of words are used, is in hoodoo, old-time hoodoo. It was usually the power of cadenced speech or toning, where, you know, used by the old-time hoodoo workers or the old-time spiritual workers. And I hope this doesn't sound bad saying it, but it just, a lot of that would kind of sound like what you would think like an old-timey preacher would sound like, where you would put certain emphasis and certain words within the sentence, where you would say something like, this man is now healed and whole. You know, healed and whole would be more emphasized. We're blessed with increased strength and vigor each day.
Well, it's like calling it to being, like you do when you want someone's attention. You kind of add a more force behind your word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so I know I'm flip-flapping a little bit, but just, you know, going back to the power of chants and the power of enchantments and incantation, you know, I read somewhere, and I very much believe this to be true, is that when you speak in rhyme, lots of times that can act as a magical trigger, because it does occupy your conscious mind in a way, while freeing your subconscious mind to do the magical work. And so, you know, it's a pretty little, you know, maybe couplet or whatever, but it's also actually a very effective way to busy that part of you, so that the inner part or the subconscious part of you can do the work.
Yes. Yeah. Well.
So, any final thoughts before we close, Elvira?
One last chant mantra we're gonna beloved I am, beloved I am, beloved I am that I am. I think that's what I want to end with.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, okay. So the trick is to do the work and then let it go and act as if.
Exactly.
Magic will happen.
And magic will happen. And I guess we're supposed to do our cleanup and start closing down now, I gather.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I want to go more.
All right. So here I go with the housekeeping. Okay. So for anybody out there, contact info for readings, spectacular readings, or root work. Great work, root work. You can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and also on AIR. AIR is a wonderful site. It's got so much on it. Just go and explore it. It's AIR is the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can also find Elvira for some fantastic readings online at www.elvira.com. And you can also find her at www.milk-and-honey.com. So, you know, find her.
Well, thank you.
Get on that search engine. Look for her.
Well, you too, dear. Don't you have yours?
Oh, yeah. And you can find me, Deborah Voith, for tarot readings, mediumship, and spell casting. You can find me on my website, which is www.bewitchingbee.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Just look us up.
And she is good. Trust me. I know. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
So, So with that, we can wrap up the show. For the next show that's going to be put together, Elvira and Lenora will be talking about using sigils. That sounds like a lot of fun. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.